Title: Writing Memorable Stabs for Old School Vibes Advanced. Alright, let's build some proper old school drum and bass stabs. Not a nice chord, I'm talking about that classic 90s kind of stab that behaves like a rhythmic hook, short, harmonically punchy, a little pretty, filtered, and sitting in a big but controlled space. The kind of sound that feels like it came from a sampler, even if you made it from scratch. We're going to do this in Ableton Live, and we're going to move fast. You'll end up with two stab instruments, a main rave stab that's mid-forward and tight, and a second ghost or answer stab that's more filtered, wider, and wetter. Then we'll arrange them into a 16 to 32 bar section with real call and response, so the stab becomes a memory, not wallpaper. Before we touch a synth, set the context so your decisions are actually correct. Set your tempo to around 170 to 174 BPM. Get some drums running. It can be a placeholder break with a kick and snare, but you need the groove. And get a bass in there, even if it's just a Reese drone or a sub plus a mid layer. Here's the reality check. Stabs that sound massive when soloed often fight the snare and the bass as soon as the track is playing. So we build these in context, always. Now, step one is harmony, but I want you thinking slightly differently than what chord is this. Think in voice leading, not chord names. A lot of classic stabs are catchy because one note becomes the identity, often the top note. So your goal is to make something where the ear latches onto a consistent voice for 2 to 4 bars, while then other notes move a little. That's how you get a hook that survives variation. Old school friendly stab language tends to be minor triads, minor sevens, dominant sevens, sus chords, and that classic move where you keep the same chord shape and slide it around, kind of like chromatic planing. Keep your voicings tight. 3 notes is usually perfect. 4 notes max. The moment you go lush and wide with a bunch of extensions, then add saturation and reverb, you don't get rave, you get fog. So pick a simple chord shape to start. For example, try a minor triad, 1, flat 3, 5, or a minor 7, 1, flat 3, 5, flat 7, or a dominant 7 if you want that house rave tension, 1, 3, 5, flat 7, or a sus 4, 1, 4, 5. Great, now we build the synth, but we're building it with one big intention. We want to resample it into audio and treat it like a sample. That's the era trick. Option A is operator, because it's fast and it can do that organish rave foundation really easily. Make a new MIDI track, drop an operator, pick a simple algorithm, keep it mostly straightforward. Oscillator A can be sine or triangle for the core. Oscillator B can be a saw very quietly, just to add buzz and attitude. Turn the filter on, go for a steep low pass like LP24. Start the cutoff somewhere around, say, 2.5 to 6 kHz. And set resonance mostly. Not whistling, just a little focus. Then the most important part, the amp envelope. We're not making a pad, we're making a hit. Attack very fast, like sub-millisecond to a couple milliseconds. Decay somewhere like 200 to 500 milliseconds. Sustain basically off. Release around 80 to 200 milliseconds, depending on how much tail you want before you even add reverb. If you prefer a brighter sampled house vibe, use Waveatable. Drop in Waveatable, put a saw in oscillator 1. Then oscillator 2 can beat a square quietly or another saw slightly detuned. Add a little unison, not too much. 2 to 4 voices, small amount. Then filter it, and use a filter envelope to make it pluck per hit. Fast attack, decay around 150 to 350 milliseconds, sustain at 0, release short. Either way, the point is the same. You want a controllable, punchy chord hit that you can print. Now let's write the rhythm, because the rhythm is the hook. Make a one-bar loop. Put your chord hit in there. Classic placements for this style are jabs that answer the snare, or hits that push into the next bar. A very standard roller feel is a stab on the end of 2, and then another stab on the end of 4 to pull you into the next bar. So try that. One stab between kick and snare, and then one late in the bar. Keep MIDI note length short, like a 16th to an 8th. But remember, your envelope is doing most of the work. The MIDI length matters less than the envelope, and the sample later. Now shape velocity. This is where a lot of flat stabs become musical. Make the first hit strong, somewhere like 105 to 120 velocity. Then make the next hit a bit lower, maybe 70 to 95. That simple dynamic makes the pattern breathe and makes the phrase feel intentional. And yes, you swing, but don't hide behind it. Drop a groove into the groove pool, something like a swing 16 at a medium amount, and apply it lightly, maybe 10 to 25%. Old stabs feel human against rigid breaks, but we're still staying tight. Now comes the part that makes it sound real. Resampling. Create a new audio track and call it Stab Resample. Set the input to resampling. Solo your stab instrument and record a few variations. A single hit, a double hit close together, and one hit with a slightly longer tail. Once you've got it, choose your best hit, consolidate it so it's a clean chunk, and drag it into Simpler as a one-shot. In Simpler, keep it in one-shot mode. Usually turn warp off, turn snap on. Add tiny fade in and fade out, 1 to 3 milliseconds, just to kill clicks. Now you're in that classic world. You're not playing a synth anymore, you're triggering a sample, which immediately gets you closer to that old-school bite. At this point, I want you thinking of the stab as three faders. Transient. Body. Bass. Transient is that little tick that tells your brain this is a hit. Body is the chord mid-range. Bass is the reverb and delay aura around it. When your mix gets busy, don't just turn the stab down. Usually you turn down the body a bit. Keep the transient so it still speaks, and keep the tail so it still feels atmospheric. Let's do a stock device chain that's very era-rooted. After Simpler, put Saturator. Use something like Analog Clip. Drive it a bit, 2 to 6 dB, and turn Soft Clip on. This is about density and forwardness so it reads on smaller speakers, not just distortion for fun. Then EQ8. High pass the low end somewhere around 120 to 250 Hz depending on what your bass is doing. If your bass is huge, go higher. If it's muddy, dip around 250 to 450 Hz a couple dB. If it needs presence, a gentle boost around 1.5 to 3.5 kHz can help. Be careful with air boosts. Stabs can get harsh fast. Then auto filter. Use an LP24 again, and automate the cutoff through the phrase. This is one of your main arrangement tools. Resonance moderate. And if you want extra pluck, use a small envelope amount so each hit has a little movement. Then compressor, just to control peaks. Ratio 2 to 1 up to 4 to 1. Attack 10 to 30 milliseconds so you don't kill the transient. Release 80 to 160 milliseconds. You're only aiming for 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction on the hardest hits. Then reverb, the rave space, but controlled. Medium to large size, decay may be 1.2 to 2.8 seconds. Pre-delay is non-negotiable here. 15 to 35 milliseconds so the transient stays punchy. High pass and low pass the reverb. Cut lows up to 250 or even 500 Hz, and roll off the top somewhere like 6 to 10 kHz so it doesn't hiss all over the break. And keep the wet amount sensible. Or better, put reverb on a return, because that's how you keep the dry hit stable. Then utility at the end, for width management. But here's a big advanced tip. Check mono early. A lot of wide rave stabs collapse badly in mono, because unison and reverb smear the chord. Keep the dry stab more centered, and let the effects create width. So a good approach is, dry stab relatively mono, and the reverb return widened. Now let's make it memorable, which is really arrangement and motif. Pick a signature constraint. This is a huge old school trick. For example, decide, I'm only using two chord shapes for the whole drop, or I'm only using one inversion, but I'll vary rhythm and filtering, or I'm only using one resampled hit, repitch to different notes. Constraints create identity because the listener gets repetition, and repetition is what becomes a hook. Now build a 16-bar blueprint. Bars 1 to 4. Introduce the main stab with a simple rhythm. Let it establish itself. Bars 5 to 8. Keep the rhythm, but open the filter slightly over time. Add one extra pickup hit somewhere tasteful. Bars 9 to 12. Drop the stab out for one bar, then bring it back with a different inversion or repitch. That drop out is powerful. It makes the return feel bigger than any layering. Bars 13 to 16, briefly increase density. Maybe double the rhythm for a moment with a 16th push, then pull it back so it doesn't get exhausting. While you do this, use automation lanes like composition. Don't just open the filter because that's what people do. Automate relationships. For example, as the cutoff opens and the stab gets brighter, you can close the reverb sense slightly to keep clarity. Or as the cutoff closes and it gets darker, you can increase delay or reverb send to make it feel bigger without getting bright. Now let's create the answer stab, the ghost stab. Duplicate your resampled stab, and this time, low pass it heavier. Send it more to reverb, and maybe transpose it up by 5 or 7 semitones, so it answers musically without stepping on the main stab. And here's an advanced separation trick that avoids over-eking. Use register, not eq. Make the main question stab mid-register. Make the answer stab an octave higher, lower velocity. You'll hear both clearly without carving them to death. Now micro timing. Groove pool is nice, but the secret swing is tiny manual nudges. If you want the stab to feel heavier and lazier, push it slightly late, like 5 to 15 milliseconds. Especially the main hits. If you want a pickup stab to feel urgent into the snare, pull it slightly early, like 5 to 10 milliseconds. You can do that with audio nudges after resampling or even track delay, but keep it subtle. Small moves, big vibe. Now glue it to the drums, because in drum and bass, the snare owns the room. Put a compressor on the stab track, enable sidechain, and feed it from the snare. Or even a ghost snare if you want cleaner control. Fast attack, like under a few milliseconds. Release around 80 to 140 milliseconds, and you don't need to smash it. 1 to 4 dB of gain reduction is enough to make space so the snare stays dominant, while the stab still feels huge. Now, let's hit some extra sound design spice. If you want it darker or more authentic, one minor second tension. Use it sparingly. You can add a note, a semitone above one chord tone very quietly, or as a quick grace note before the hit. When used carefully, it's deadly. When overused, it just sounds wrong. So treat it like hot sauce. 2. Sampler style crunch. You can add redux early in the chain. Subtle downsample, very light bit reduction. Then EQ the edge, especially if it gets hissy around the top. 3. Transient shaping with drum bus. Yes, on stabs. Turn transient up slightly, keep drive low, and keep boom off unless you really know what you're doing and you high pass afterward. This can help the stab speak through dense breaks without needing to get louder. And 4. Resample again after effects. Print your processed stab bus to audio. Treat it like a break slice. Reverse tiny tails. Nudge timing. Pitch it down 2 to 5 semitones for menace. Old school heaviness often comes from committing and recommitting. Before we wrap, let's do a quick practice structure you can actually repeat. Set a goal. Make an 8-bar stab hook that evolves. Write a 1-bar rhythm with 2 hits, like the end of 2 and the end of 4. Duplicate it to 8 bars. Every 2 bars, do 1 change only. Just 1. Bars 3 and 4. Open filter a little. This audio version is shortened for playback.